Hello everyone, this is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Commodities Weekend Newsletter for Sunday, December 6th. Steve Nelson already sent out part one of the weekend newsletters, which is over the general market analysis, and this newsletter is on commodities specifically. This update newsletter is broken down into four sections, as you can see via the table of comments at the top. Number one, we're going to go over some administration comments on the website. Number two, I'm going to talk about the U.S. dollar, bonds, and interest rates. Number four, I'm going to just talk about general commodities, crude oil, oil and energy stocks. And lastly, number four, I'm going to discuss gold, silver, and the related precious metal stocks. So, let's go and get started. First off, the administration notes. And over the weekend, first off, on the watch list, I'm probably going to add some new trade ideas tonight. So the watch list is, I get questions about this quite a bit. We add trade ideas to the watch list in the evening, and sometimes it could be late in the evening. And so really the best time to check the watch list is probably early in the morning, because then you can be certain that you're going to see any new trade ideas that we add. And I'm not sure if Steve covered this, but you know, the market is tricky here. You know, we're in the holiday period, so it can make a pretty good case for the market holding up into the end of the year if it wanted to. But it's also trading pretty wild, as you could see, you know, especially from last week. So I would focus not on trading the market indexes. You know, get away from trading the Dow, get away from trading the S&P 500 and the index ETFs. Just focus on some individual trade ideas. You know, you might need to take profits a little quicker, but, you know, if you get one good trade in the watch list, you can pay for a membership, you know, for a year or two. So the watch list has been doing pretty well, and we're going to focus on trade ideas. We have some longs that are working well. We have a few short ideas. And, you know, that's really it. Also, the premium content section, that contains our mechanical trading systems. Over the weekend, we changed the format to that section. We have a whole new look to it. And so when you go to that section, it'll look quite different. But again, it's also improved because we add a lot more statistics now. We now add the whole statistics file from TradeStation. So when you click on the tables, you'll actually get the whole file so you can look at all the statistics instead of viewing pictures. And so I think that'll be an added benefit to you. Plus, it's an added benefit to us because it'll be faster. We don't have to take snapshots. We can just download the files directly from TradeStation. And if you happen to be on a two-week trial, remember that's the section that you cannot access. Paying members only have access to that section. But Breakpoint Trades membership is cheap. We price it for the mom and pops, even though we have a lot of professionals here. So, you know, honestly, a membership of Breakpoint Trades would probably cost you less than it would to fill your gas tank. So, you know, I think it's pretty cheap. But anyway, let's go and get started here. Let's get started with the charts. So, section number two, we're going to talk about the dollar, bonds, and interest rates. Chart number one is a chart of the U.S. dollar from stock charts. And as you know, on Friday, the U.S. dollar had a huge day. It had its biggest one-day up candle since, I think, June of this year. So, huge rally. But you can see that horizontal support where it says major support here. The dollar rallied off support last week, and the dollar closed just a few cents over the 50-day moving average, which is key resistance. You can see it's been key resistance since really, you know, all this year. The U.S. dollar hit a top in March of this year, which also corresponded with a bottom in the stock market as well as general commodities. And the dollar's been on a downtrend ever since. The markets, especially the regular stock markets such as the Dow and S&P, have been on a carry trade, a U.S. carry trade. In the past, we used to have a Japanese yen carry trade, but now it's the U.S. dollar carry trade, which means foreigners are borrowing U.S. dollars basically at 0% and putting it to work in the stock market. So if the dollar puts in a significant bottom in the near future, or if it already has, that could spell an end potentially to the carry trade and would be, you know, potential negative for the market, as well as for commodities. But it's still too early to say. As you can see, the dollar closed slightly above the 50-day moving average, but again, don't get too caught up in a few pennies. Okay, it needs to close significantly above that. And really, if you look at my wave count on the dollar, you see that the number four, the black room of number four in late October, early November, the dollar really needs to get over that area, get over the 77 area, to really confirm a good bottom. So while it looks pretty good, you know, it's not yet confirmed. Okay, so we need to watch the dollar here going forward. And notice that I have this chart in five sections, A, B, C, D, E. So I've did that so that when I talk about it, you can know where I'm at. So that I just talked about number A. Number B is the MACD. You could see we have positive divergence forming in the MACD, but that really needs to get above zero. But, you know, it's dollar's looking better for sure. Number C is the ratio of the U.S. dollar to the S&P 500. And it's trying to break up, which means that it would start to outperform, and that's something to watch. The next two things are the stochastics. So we have a 14.3 stochastics and a 89 stochastics. A lot of times I use 60-period stochastics, but this time I'm using 89 here. Now, the 9 is covered up by this box, so I apologize for that. But that's number D. Notice how, again, this all it is a very slowed-down version of stochastics. You know, it's slowed down by, you know, about 6.5 times from the 14.3. So that's all I did, nothing special. But you can see that, you know, it has some resistance just over the 20% level. So if that closes above there, that could be significant. And so that's what to watch for on the dollar, guys. Chart number two is a shorter-term chart of the dollar. You can see the wave counts here. And, of course, the ratio at the top, which I would like to see it break that trend line, but it hasn't done so yet. Now, let's look at some other dollar charts from TradeStation. Chart number three is a daily chart of the U.S. dollar. DXY is the symbol for the U.S. dollar in TradeStation. You can see it closed above the 50-day moving average on Friday. But again, as I stated above, the dollar's down a little bit tonight. So you can see that little red candle there. So it's down below the 50-day moving average again. Okay, that's what I mean. Don't get excited on Friday that the dollar closed a little above the 50-day. It needs to do a lot more than that. But it's definitely a nice candle, and it's something to watch. So it's really key to watch what the dollar does from here. And, you know, as you know, the dollar has been, you know, the market has been inversely correlated with the dollar. And so Friday we've seen some breakdown of that, whereas the market held up while the dollar rallied. And again, guys, that doesn't mean the relationship is over. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one, you know, day-to-day movement all the time. And it's possible that the dollar could bottom and then the market holds up for a little bit. Okay? So, but if the dollar truly does bottom and starts to rally and the market holds up, that would be a divergence and I think would be a negative for the market, you know. But again, we are in a seasonable time for the market. But on chart number three, we'll see what the dollar does here. Watch the 89 period stochastics at the bottom. You can see how it's been staying under that 20% level since, oh, you know, that April-May time frame. So that's a key level. If it gets above there, I think that's very bullish for the dollar. So that's what I'm watching. Chart number four is the 60-minute chart of the dollar, DX, the futures. And again, you can see it was straight up on Friday, got overbought, and so it's logically pulling back here. So logically pulling back, so the key is if the dollar forms a higher low here, which at least so far it looks like it could, based on the stochastics, on the MACD and everything. There's no negative divergence. And so, again, I will be updating you on the dollar situation this week on the trading community and, of course, on the updates. Moving on, chart number five is UUP, this is the U.S. dollar ETF. I threw it back on a watch list on Friday, and I mentioned it on the blog again. UUP rallied strongly on Friday, as you can see on big volume. And the problem with UUP a little bit is that early in November it had some problems. It had some false movement there due to the exchange not issuing them new shares. And then, of course, the exchange issued new shares, and so it corrected itself. But that's the problem with these ETFs sometimes, guys, is that you can have issues like this. And this is one vehicle to play the U.S. dollar for. Or if you don't mind buying a mutual fund, the problem with mutual funds, of course, is you can only buy them, I think, once or twice a day. I think RIDEX funds, you can buy them. Number six is the RIDEX Strengthening U.S. Dollar Fund. It moves two times relative to the dollar, so you get more bang for your buck than UUP. It was up 3.2% on Friday, whereas UUP was only up 1.5%. So you get a double move here. But again, I think you can only buy this either, you know, basically once in the morning or in the evening, or in the day. And so you can't trade in and out of it like a stock. But the only benefit here is that it moves double, so you get a double percentage relative to UUP. Plus, as you can see, it doesn't have that weird movement in November, and I mentioned in my comments here. So the point is, it looks like it's a little cleaner, trades cleaner than UUP. And so if the dollar puts in a good bottom, this could be a fund that you could buy. Again, it doesn't move in a huge amount, so if it, you know, if it goes against you, you know, not a big deal. You're not going to lose 50% of your money. It's not like buying some of these triple ETFs that move 10% a day sometimes. You know, this, the dollar's, you know, pretty subdued. But, you know, again, if the dollar, or when the dollar puts in some kind of trading bottom, you know, this, you know, this could have a pretty good rally. So it's something, you know, to consider. Now, moving on, we've got to talk about interest rates and bonds. And, you know, because the dollar rallied on Friday, partially probably because of the unemployment numbers, that's at least the fundamental reason for it. If people think the economy is improving, then the traders are going to think that the Fed doesn't have to keep interest rates so low. And so that means that Fed maybe just start... There's thoughts there that, you know, the Fed could have to start raising rates, or et cetera. But anyway, so interest rates rallied on Friday. The chart number 7, the chart of the 10-year Treasury yield, and you can see it went up, and it closed at 3.48%. Now, on this chart, it's in whole numbers of 10. Whole numbers of 10. You can see it closed at 34.83, but just move your decimal point over. That's really 3.483%. So it's trying to break a downtrend line here, and there's another downtrend line above higher. So we'll see if this follows through or not. Now, looking longer term, though, as you know, we want to look and see if there's going to be any major trends longer term with interest rates. Longer term, guys, that is a big key, because there's a lot of talks out there about inflation and rampant inflation going to come in this economy, in the world markets and the U.S. markets, because of all this printing of money. And so that's why we need to step back and look at the big picture. So chart number 8 is USB. That's the 30-year Treasury yield, or Treasury bond. And bonds are move opposite or inverse to interest rates, and so bonds have been going up since the early 80s. And that means that interest rates have been going down since the early 80s. As you know, those of you old enough, interest rates were extremely high in the early 80s. If you bought a house back then, you might have been paying 15% or more on your mortgage. And anyway, USB 30-year bond has an uptrend. At least I can draw an uptrend from 1987. And you can draw kind of a channel here. And I can also put a 110 exponential moving average in here. So you can see we have long-term support below there. So, you know, nothing's changed in the big picture. Now, if interest rates were to rally significantly enough, break that 110 moving average, break the uptrend line there, this long-term uptrend, then I think we could have some problems. You know, then the era of low interest rates may be over. Okay, so that's a long-term chart. Nothing's changed, but it's just something that I watch. Chart number 9 is a 30-year T-bill yield. That's 30-year interest rates. And again, opposite to USB, as you can see, it's been on a downtrend since 1982. Interest rates have been on a downtrend. So you can see there's a downtrend line here, about 5%. So if long-term interest rates start breaking above this long-term interest, this long-term downtrend line, again, that could signal that the era of low interest rates are over. Obviously, not close at all to breaking the downtrend line. It's just something that I watch long-term. And, you know, for those of you who are worried about, you know, rampant inflation or something in the future, you know, these trend lines have to break before we start to get anything like that. For now, you know, we're not close. So that's the story of the U.S. dollar and interest rates and bonds. And again, I'll keep you abreast on what the U.S. dollar does this week. Moving on into our second section, general commodities. Number 10 is a table of what general commodities did last week. You can see they were up slightly via the CRB index, the composite of general commodities. And crude oil was down. It closed at 75.5. And oil energy stocks, OIH, XLE, were down much more than the commodity, down 2.5 to 2%, as you can see. Gold Gold had hit a new all-time high last week of $1,226. But, as you know, it had a huge down day on Friday, down $50, and it ended up closing the week down 1.3%, down to 1162. Now, this evening, gold's down about another $8, so it's currently down about 1153. So, you know, not too surprising. As you know, gold was going parabolic. The emotion was high, and so it was due for this correction. And I'll talk about what I think below. But so it also had formed an inverted hammer on the weekly chart. And other commodities were up slightly, silver, copper, etc. Natural gas was down this week, and it was up last week, as you know. So let's move on. Chart number 11 is the weekly chart of the CRB Commodity Index. Again, nothing's changed from my long-term view. There's resistance at that thin horizontal line there. And but again, the long-term picture on commodities here tells you that, you know, except for gold, which has rallied to new all-time highs, if you group most of the commodities together via the CRB, the rally off the March lows has been good, but it's, you know, nothing compared to what the pullback from July 2008 high was. To me, it looks more like a counter-trend rally. Looks like, and to me, that's bearish longer term. So, just something to consider. Chart number 12 is a daily chart of crude oil. And it's been consolidated. Well, it broke out of this little potential triangle pattern resistance at 75 back in early October. Rallied up to about 82. And it's consolidating, or been consolidating ever since then. So it's been consolidating for, you know, over a month, about a month and a half. And it's still resting above support, that 75 area. It needs to start turning up here. If it can turn up here and break over that 80 area, then I think crude oil can make, you know, maybe make one more high. The MACD is at zero, so this isn't a break point. Again, it kind of depends on what the U.S. dollar does, too. If the U.S. dollar really rallies hard, well, then maybe crude oil will break down here. Maybe the top's in. Or if the dollar, you know, did a head fake on Friday and starts and pulls back much more, then maybe crude oil will not go up. At the top, I'm also watching the crude oil S&P ratio. You can see I say watch that trend line. That trend line, if you take a look, has been pretty good on this ratio. So if that ratio turns up and breaks the trend line, then that could be bullish for gold, for crude oil. So it's one thing to watch. Chart number 13 is the weekly chart of crude oil. And again, if crude oil had one more rally, you could see major resistances above there. You can see you have a confluence of resistance at the 50% Fibonacci retracement and also the broken up trend line from 2001. So that's all huge, huge resistance. We either make it up there or we don't. But if it does go higher, that's a big resistance area. Chart number 14 is daily chart of OIH. That's the oil services ETF. And at the top, I have the bullish percent energy index, BPNER. And I kind of use it as a simple mechanical system whenever it crosses. When it gets up there in the high 80s, the 90 percentile level, and crosses below the 13 or 20 EMA, that tends to give you a sell signal. And you get buy signals when it's in the low 20 to 30 percentile range, as you had in July of this year. So we had a sell signal in October, and that's been a pretty good sell signal. OIH has at least been consolidating ever since. Currently, you can draw a downtrend line on the BPNER at the top. So if that were to turn up and break, then these energy stocks might have a chance to rally. However, it's a long way to go before it gets down to the general buy range, which is the 20 to 30% range. So, and the pattern here is kind of iffy. It broke an uptrend line. It broke the 50-day moving average. Volume increased to the downside on Friday. So, you know, potential bearish pattern here. So we'll just have to see where this goes. And chart number 15 is another chart of OIH on wave count, if we wanted to go lower. Chart number 16 is a daily chart of XLE. That's the energy ETF. Again, the same thing. I have the BPNR at the top and the pattern here. Moving on into our last section, talking about gold, silver, and precious metal stocks. So chart number 17 is a weekly chart of gold. And really, all I wanted to show here was that gold hit a new all-time high last week of $1,226 an ounce. The move had been, you know, broke out of a symmetrical triangle or inverse head and shoulder pattern in early September. But the move lately has been straight up, and it formed an inverted hammer last week. And so definitely caution's in order now. And You know, we knew it was coming. We knew a pullback was coming. So Friday's move really shouldn't have surprised anyone. And it was just a matter of when. So now we expect consolidation for gold. And I don't think the uptrend in the long term is over. I just think now it needs to consolidate. So chart number 18 is a daily chart of gold with a potential wave count on here. I'm not certain about the short-term wave count, but I'll discuss it. Gold broke out of this beautiful symmetrical triangle pattern you can see in early September, and then it's rallied up, and it went parabolic in November. Then pulled back about 45 points, 50 points on Friday, and it's down a little bit tonight. So in the very short term, Friday was definitely some kind of, you know, at least an intermediate or short-term top. My wave count suggests maybe it's a wave 3 instead of a wave 5 top, or a wave 3 of 5. So maybe the pullback is some kind of wave 4. And, you know, wave 4s could be either an ABC pullback or they can form triangles. Either way, I would say that gold needs to consolidate here and, you know, rest and form this wave 4 out before I would look to buy it. And if it pulls back enough, then it could go back further than we think. But that's a potential count now, so it's now needs to consolidate at least in a wave 4. Again, my bullish long-term count is that gold has a lot higher to go, but now it needs to consolidate here. And real quick before I look at some other charts, chart number 19 is SLV, that's silver ETF. Silver here has formed a nice rising wedge pattern with negative divergence. As you know, silver has not made new highs. It has not been keeping up with the price of gold. And so this looks bearish here in the short term. Support is the lower trend line of the rising wedge. But if it breaks that wedge, then it would likely go further. But for now, it's in an uptrend still, but a potential rising wedge pattern. And chart number 20 is a 60-minute chart of GLD. And you can see the gold was in some kind of strong potential wave 3 up, so now maybe some kind of wave 4 consolidation. We'll count it a wave 4 now. Wave 4s technically cannot go below wave 1, which you can see is way below, way down there. So now, you know, I doubt the wave 4 is over. I think it's probably got a lot of consolidation to do here. So I wouldn't be in a huge hurry to buy gold, except for some short-term pops, because I think it's going to chop around here. But one thing to notice at the bottom was the 89-period stochastics. Many times I use 60-period stochastics. Sometimes I use 89-period. 89 is a Fibonacci number. But notice how it was below, or it was above 80% really since November. So once it broke 80% on Friday morning, that was a short signal, actually. So it's got a lot of consolidating to do here now. Chart number 21 is the DZZ. That's the double gold short ETF, and really the same thing applies. It broke a downtrend line, had some positive divergence here, and stochastics was below 20% for really all November. And chart number 22 is a long-term chart of gold. Again, you know, I think gold put in at least some kind of wave 3 top on Friday. Now it needs to consolidate in a wave 4. We'll just have to see how far wave 4 pulls back. You know, but technically, you know, it could pull back down into the thousand, you know, below 1100. So it could pull back pretty far if it wanted to. Longer term, I think it has higher to go. That possibly depends on what the U.S. dollar does, though. But longer term, it looks like it has higher to go after a consolidation is done, wave 4. You know, maybe, you know, would have another couple waves to go higher. So longer term, gold measures much higher. But in the short term, we have some kind of wave 3 top, which I've already discussed. And chart number 23 and 24 are the inverse head and shoulder patterns. And again, these don't really apply now in the short term. These patterns measured to 1300. Gold will probably ultimately get to 1300, but in the short term, we're topped in some kind of wave 3. Chart number 25 is a daily chart of GDX. This is the gold stock ETF. And it topped last week and, of course, pulled back Thursday and Friday strongly along with gold. And there's a potential support area right here. Otherwise, the daily pattern of GDX is pretty sloppy, as you can see. So let's look at the other charts. Chart number 25 is a weekly chart of GDX. You can see GDX never got back to its 2008 highs, and it formed a potential inverse inverted hammer here, which could be a reversal sign. Chart number 26 is a 60-minute chart of GDX, and I marked the high there as a wave 5, and then we pulled back on Thursday and then Friday. Now there is, you can see that I also put Fibonacci retracements on here. So GDX retraced a little over the 38% retracement from the November or late October lows to the Wednesday's highs. So it's hit a support area. If it wants to rally up here, I think it's going to form a lower high, guys. Wouldn't doubt if we got a little bounce here in the short term soon, because you can see both the 14.3 and 60 period stochastics at the bottom are oversold. But if we get a bounce from here, I think it's going to form a lower high. And there's also a gap up there to fill. But I think GDX, at the very least, has got a lot more consolidating to do here. Chart number 28 is a 15-minute chart of GDX with Fibonacci retracements. And chart number 29 is a 10-minute chart of GDX, a Renko chart. You can see my settings on here. If you have stock charts, sometimes these Renko charts can be useful. I find the 10-minute chart somewhat useful with a parabolic SAR setting of 0.03 and 0.25 and a 10-minute chart. But again, the only problem with Renko charts is the charts, the signals look perfect, but Renko charts, sometimes the signals can change because of the nature of Renko charts. So they're not perfect, but they're a guideline. Lastly, chart number 30 is the GDX-GLD ratio. As you can see, GDX ratio, this is the ratio of gold stocks to gold metal, has been on a downtrend since September. So that means gold metal has been outperforming relative to gold stocks. And so that's definitely has been a negative or warning sign in gold stocks. And the ratio continues to be to the downside. So again, guys, just to recap, let's watch the U.S. dollar early this week. And I'll keep you posted on that. And regarding gold, looks like we put in some kind of wave 3 top at least. We'll need to consolidate at best here. And as far as administration comments, remember to check the new premium content section with the mechanical trading systems. And also the watch list. I'm going to put some new trade ideas on a watch list tonight. And, you know, I would, instead of focusing so much on trading the indexes, I would focus, you know, make sure to also trade some individual ideas. When I've talked to members on the phone this year, I found that too many of you have traded only the market indexes and not individual stock picks. Guys, it's much easier to trade the stock trade ideas and sometimes a mechanical system than it is to try to trade the market. Doesn't mean you don't trade the market, but, you know, the market's kind of iffy here. As Steve stated in his update, you know, you could make a case for it going up and going higher, holding up in at least January time frame, or even pulling back here. You know, it's tough to say. Either way, the uptrend is still intact for the general market. So that does it. It's Sunday, and I will see you tomorrow in the trading community. Have a great evening.